Hey guys, it's Slim here for the Fantasy Football Auctioneer. You can find me on Twitter at Slim4MVP. Just coming to you guys with another premium podcast. This one's kind of about the onesie positions, the quarterbacks and tight ends. And to be honest, I had no intention of doing this podcast, but this is a shout out to Ken and Phoenix, who sent in a request to get a podcast about quarterbacks. He's got a draft coming up and wanted to hear a little bit about quarterbacks and tiers and stuff like that. So I figured I would do that and then lump in tight ends as well. The biggest reason is I wasn't going to do this because I talked a little bit about this in when I did a podcast about roster construction. And mainly because, I don't know, I feel like quarterback isn't in a position that we need to get overly worked up about here, and it doesn't take maybe tons of research. I think there's a lot of quarterbacks here that can carry your fantasy team, so it's typically not a position that I'm getting too invested in terms of my time and even creating budgets. But it is important, and so for Ken here, his question, he's right that, you know, it's not something we should completely gloss over, so we'll spend a little bit of time tonight talking about that. So thanks again for purchasing, you know, these premium subscriptions. Hopefully you guys are finding it helpful. Hopefully you guys, you know, are finding the sheets and the tiers and everything like that helpful as well. And again, just like Ken here, if you've got anything specific that you want to reach out or hear, we're kind of running out of time, so hit us up and we'll try and get some content out there that might be really actionable for you. And just to recap, somebody did DM me on Twitter about this, and then I couldn't respond to them. I don't know if they deleted their account or something. All these are for $200 budgets. All these prices, all the price you see on our site, everything I talk about in these podcasts, my tiers, everything like that, this is based on a $200 budget. So just so you know that going forward. All right, so if you look at quarterbacks, there's a couple things you want to decide. First of all, obviously, you got to know what your league scoring is. So is it a 1QB or is it a 2QB / Superflex, one of the two? If it's a 1QB, I think you really want to try and know your draft if you can. What I find is if you're drafting with sharp people, the prices on quarterbacks in 1QB leagues are often going to be cheaper than they would be if you're drafting with maybe inexperienced drafters. And what I like to do is, if this is a league you've been in for a little while, look back at the last couple of years and see what the prices have been. And that'll help you maybe gauge what to expect going into this year. For example, I just did a draft with a lot of some people in the fantasy football industry. And a lot of quarterbacks were going for right around $10 in that range. And one of the guys in the draft, he commented that, you know, he wasn't going to pay up for quarterback, but he was going in with the mindset that he wasn't going to let anyone get like a Russell Wilson kind of player for like $6. That wasn't going to happen. He was going to bid things up, at least make you pay $11, $12, $13 or more for a quarterback of that caliber. So that just kind of goes to show you the mentality of drafting with people that are really seasoned at this. They're going to maybe push the envelope to not let people get deals. So if you can maybe wait or nominate some players that maybe you're not super high on and let those guys go first, then the deals should be able to come later. So, you know, like I got Jalen Hurts in that draft for, I think it was like $7 or $8, which I was fine with. He was probably about the 9th or 10th quarterback drafted, perhaps. I can't remember off the top of my head. But I was cool with that. Another thing was because I like upside. In 1QB leagues, I'm looking for upside. I'm targeting quarterbacks that can rush the ball because, to me, that is going to give you a boost in fantasy production. So I gravitate more to the Lamar Jacksons, the Kyler Murrays, the Jalen Hurtses. Guys like that are who I'm looking at a lot of the times in leagues like that. And I don't think there's a need to take a second quarterback in a 1QB league. if I am going to get somebody kind of in the top three tiers for me, which we'll get into in a second, to me, what's the point of having a $1 guy on my bench? Because what's going to happen in week one or week two, very early in the season, you're probably going to start hitting waivers. You should be hitting waivers pretty hard. Who's the first guy you're going to look to drop? Oftentimes, it's going to be that second quarterback. You should be fairly deep on your roster if you follow kind of the things that we talk about. Then when it comes to making these waiver claims, you're going to be looking at dropping who you're going to drop anyway. And if you got a bunch of flyer running backs, you might not be super keen on dropping any of those guys at that moment. So then you're running out of bench guys that you can potentially drop. So what I find is I often end up dropping that second quarterback anyway. So I like to kind of pay up to get in a 1QB league somebody with some upside. It might cost me a little bit. I think the days of the streaming, quote unquote streaming, are a little bit gone. You don't really need to do that anymore. The quarterback position seems relatively deep with all of the, when you start adding in all the players now that add this rushing upside that we've started to see happen in the last few years. So this idea of streaming really is kind of not necessarily something that needs to be done anymore. All right, if we start look, I guess I should talk about TQB Superflex. So in leagues like that, I'm actually looking at, I want guys with safe floors. I want to try and get a top eight quarterback, if I can, as my QB1. And then I'd like to still get like a top, 14 kind of guy, somewhere in that range as my QB2. Somebody who I think has, maybe they have some upside as well. But in 2QB, I think you're just looking at that. You want that consistent floor. And if you can get some upside, great. A lot of the times that upside is going to cost a little bit more in Superflex, so you might not be able to afford to do that. And where I try and get that upside is in with my third guy. I'm looking for a cheaper third option, maybe a guy that's not starting early on. And maybe the upside is the cost upside. So maybe that's like a Mac Jones, somebody who you can get for quite cheap that could end up starting a lot of games relatively quickly. So there's been talk in Patriots camp of how they're unhappy with Cam Newton, and Mac Jones has shown glimpses in practice of looking pretty good. The Patriots might just decide some point very soon to just say, you know what, you're the starter and here you go. And you might have got him for very cheap. Now, he doesn't offer a ton of rushing upside, or like I mentioned before, but the upside comes at the price you got him at. Now you have a starting quarterback. Maybe it's the Trey Lance, Justin Fields kind of guy, who they do offer the rushing upside, and you can get them for cheaper than guys, like Kyler Murray and things like that. And the hope is that if they do, or when they do become starters, they are kind of low-end QB1s, potentially with this rushing upside, and now you're getting the fantasy points. You might have to pay a little bit more to get them in your draft than some of the cheaper guys, the Ben Roethlisbergers and things like that. But for a third QB, you can gamble a little bit on those guys and try and find some of that the fantasy point upside now that we're talking about. So that's kind of how I target the two different leagues here. I'll probably talk a little bit more about 1QB right now because I feel like that is the league format that's predominant still. I would say that, about three quarters of all leagues are still one quarterback, probably even more than that. So that's where maybe we'll focus a bit of our energy here, but we'll kind of go through this here. So the first tier I have at quarterback is Patrick Mahomes at 28, Josh Allen at 23, and Dak Prescott at 17. And these are 1QB prices. If we look at Superflex, Mahomes goes for a lot of times over 40. And then those other two guys kind of get, in the high 30s. I'll be honest, Patrick Mahomes to me doesn't make any sense to buy. He is essentially a do not draft for me. The biggest reason is you are paying oftentimes quite a bit more than the QB2, whoever the QB2 is in your draft. Mahomes is oftentimes going for quite a bit more. And I don't know what the percentage or how we could quantify, but to me, Mahomes is far from a lock to be the fantasy QB1, and we're paying a premium to get him as the QB1 in drafts. So I look at it like, why am I paying this much extra for a guy who to me doesn't have that much greater a chance of finishing as the QB1 than, you know, why can't Josh Allen finish as the QB1 again? Why can't Lamar Jackson finish as the QB1 again? Why can't Dak Prescott? And there's a lot of guys that you could make the case for to finish as the QB1. So again, I don't understand why anyone would want to take Mahomes paying that premium at a position where a lot of guys offer a safe floor. It's not like Mahomes gives you rushing upside. He doesn't really run around that much, so you're not getting the upside that baked into that price. Like you're paying just for the name right now. And I would rather just take cheaper options with who, and maybe some players that have as good a chance to finish as the QB1 overall in fantasy. So that tier I mentioned, I kind of have those guys as about 25 plus points per game, fantasy points per game. And that's, like I said, but in previous podcasts, that's how I look at my tiers. The second tier, and this is a tier that's interesting to me, and I, you know, end up with guys from here a fair amount. And we're looking at 23 to 24 points per game. So not that much lower than tier one. So that's Lamar Jackson at 19, Kyler Murray at 18, Russell Wilson at 12, Aaron Rodgers at 10, and Justin Herbert at 15. Oftentimes still more than I kind of want to spend at quarterback in a one QB league. So they have to drop in price a little bit. But this is a tier that I'm really looking at in a two QB or super flex. I want to get QB1 from out of here if I can. I've got Aaron Rodgers a few times. And a little bit of times at discounts, I will say, when there was still some uncertainty if he was going to play. But oftentimes, Russell Wilson, Lamar Jackson is at times a discount. To me, he's very polarizing. Owners really love him or they dislike him. So if you got a few owners that really like him, his price is going to be, it's going to be at the top end of this tier. But if you got a bunch of guys in a draft who are kind of down on the Baltimore passing game and things like that, then, his price can drop closer to this $10 range in a one QB league. But again, this to me, this is the one you want to focus on as a super flex kind of thing. If you can find a value here, then I think that sets you up with a great QB1 to start looking at lower tiers to get your QB2. My tier three at about 20 to 22 fantasy points per game is Matt Stafford, Tom Brady, Jalen Hurts, Ryan Tannehill, and Joe Burrow. And this is kind of the cutoff for me. In a one QB, I want to get my starter by now. I don't really want to go any lower than that. I could see some people, you know, making the case for Trevor Lawrence or Matt Ryan when we get into the next tier, but there's a fair amount of uncertainty there, and I don't really want to have to go that route if I don't have to. I think that I can get better fantasy production at close to the same price as some of the lower guys even. So I like all these guys, really. I kind of am just looking for the biggest value. I know oftentimes I end up with Jalen Hurts a lot in one QB leagues because, again, he's a guy that I target because of that rushing upside. In super flex, I like all these guys actually as my QB2. And even if I had to take Hurts as my QB1, or Stafford is my QB1 and I could pair him with Hurts, I don't mind that because, again, now I'm getting that rushing upside with Hurts for my QB2. But Ryan Tannehill, I think, you know, he's got some sneaky little upside. He can scramble the ball a little bit. Tom Brady, I think we expect just solid passing numbers as well from Stafford. So to me, you're still getting the safe floor from a lot of these guys. And if you want that safe floor, then again, Hurts maybe isn't the guy you want as your QB1. But again, if you could, in a super flex, if he's your QB2 with somebody from the tier above, that's not so bad at all. I would take that all day. We start getting into tier four. Now we're 18 to 19 fantasy points per game. This is sort of Trevor Lawrence, Matt Ryan, Trey Lance, Justin Fields, Kirk Cousins, Tua, and Jameis Winston. Now, some of you might be thinking, well, why do you have Trey Lance and Justin Fields in this tier? I'm banking on them playing somewhat soon in the season. I'm hoping before, week five, somewhere around there maybe. But if that's the case, then I'm hoping that, I'll be okay. I'm not drafting him as my QB1, so I should have somebody that's fine there. In a one QB league, I would draft guys like Lance and Fields if I really got a guy, like maybe the prices were high and I had to settle on, a Joe Burrow or a Trevor Lawrence, somebody like that as my QB1. Then I probably would take a stab at one of these upside guys, hoping that they hit at some point. And now I've got this fresh QB1 score that I can use for more or less the rest of the year. In Superflex, like I said, guys like Lance and Fields, they are my ideal third quarterbacks. I mean, they might be a lot of people's ideal third quarterbacks, though. So I don't want to overpay. Like, I'm not going to break my budget to go and do that. And a lot of times with my budget in 2QB Superflex, I only have a handful of dollars to spend on this third quarterback position because I should be pretty set at QB1 and QB2. So I don't need to spend a ton of money. So if the bidding gets too crazy on those guys, I just have to bow out and go for a guy like Mac Jones as my third QB. But that's kind of where I'm going with that. Like, to me, there's not much upside with Cousins. There is for his price at $2, but like, I don't see too many scenarios where Cousins is just going to win me weeks, where I can see making the case for a Trey Lance or Justin Fields to just drop me a 30 burger or more some weeks where I'm going to get an edge in my opponent. So, Tua off is a little intriguing. I think there's some upside there as well, so I don't mind that because I think he's being discounted. And you know what? At Cousins' price for two, I don't necessarily mind that. I just worry about the passing game kind of taking a little step back, at least for him this year. Yes, he's got some talented receivers, but I don't know. I feel like there's a lot of things brewing in Minnesota for the offense that make me leery about Kirk Cousins. And then if we go to the tier five, so this is kind of all your cheap guy, 16, 17 points per game. Carson Wentz, Ryan Fitzpatrick, Derek Carr, Ben Roethlisberger, Sam Darnold, Baker Mayfield, Jared Goff, Zach Wilson, and Daniel Jones. So, I mean, this is kind of a tier I just avoid. Like, in a one QB league, there should be no reason why I'm drafting out of here. Again, I should have a quarterback that's better. And to me, there's not a lot of upside found in this tier. I mean, Zach Wilson's obviously intriguing just because we don't know what to expect. Like, maybe he does blow up and he outperforms. Kind of like I was saying with Cousins, he could outperform that price. And there's a good likelihood that he could, just like Cousins. But with some of these other guys, I don't trust Daniel Jones. I don't see a lot of, he's not going to necessarily emerge and become a top 12 QB, right? And that's kind of what you're looking for. Who in this tier can jump up to finish as a top 12 QB? And I don't really see anybody here that can, or at least that you feel really good about doing that. And then I mentioned Mac Jones, kind of he's my lone flyer that I haven't mentioned. I don't want Cam Newton. I don't want any of these kind of timeshare looking guys. I'm just avoiding all those guys. There's no need to draft them. So Mac Jones is kind of this unmentioned guy that's kind of a flyer because he's in a timeshare. We don't know when he's going to start, quite yet. At least we project Lance and Fields to probably start at some point this year, especially Fields. Like, I could see a time if Garoppolo somehow plays pretty well, then that might keep Lance on the bench. But, I just think that it's only a matter of time before they want to get that talented weapon on the field and see what he can do. And so, like, I think Mac Jones is, he could start the season on the bench as well, but I just don't know what Cam Newton has left. And if the Patriots, lose their first couple of games, then I think it's inevitable they make the move to Mac Jones. So that kind of wraps up the quarterback position, honestly. Like I said, that there's not a lot. You don't have to overthink it. I think in years past, we maybe tried to get too cute with streaming and looking at you know, strength of schedules and stuff like that. I don't think you have to do that anymore. There's enough depth of talent at the top, and especially in the mid tiers, like this tier two and tier three, to me, they're pretty deep. So it just, we have a lot of talented options to pick from. And so now it's about mining value and figuring out a team construction and a roster construction that you like. So that kind of wraps up, like I said, quarterback. We'll look at tight ends really quick because tight ends kind of in the same boat. Like, you've only got a couple choices really to make here. And to me, the choice is, do you want to spend a lot, or do you, you know, do you want to spend kind of mid-range, or do you want to go cheap? Like, that's kind of what you're doing here. And we'll, this maybe makes sense here in a little bit more. And again, we're referencing just, this isn't tight end premium or anything. That would change things greatly. But if we look at tier one, it's Kelce and Waller. And Kelce's at 37 and Waller's at 28. And for me, like, Kelce's a lot like Mahomes. I have a hard time buying him. And it's not that I mentioned Mahomes, like, there's a lot of QBs that could finish as QB1. There's not a lot of tight ends that can finish as tight end one. Kelce is, you know, he's got a very high likelihood of being that guy. For me, though, it's just hard to fit that price into my budget. If I go to get Kelce, then I'm making a lot of concessions elsewhere. And I just have a hard time coming up with rosters that I really like putting Kelce in there. I think you can make the case that it does give you a definite positional advantage. And there is something to be said for that. I cannot dispute that. And I do like the idea of that. But to me, then, if I want to do that, I want to spend $10 less and then go target Darren Waller. I get the savings and I get almost that same amount of upside. And so for me, that savings is worth it. So I could easily make the case then for buying Waller as opposed to Kelce, just on the price alone. I think the points per game is oftentimes negligible. So give me the value. So if I want to spend up, then to me, the choice is Waller, or exactly how high up do I want to spend, right? I'm not going up to Kelce. My tier two is George Kittle at 24, TJ Hockenson at 13, Kyle Pitts at 18, and Mark Andrews for 13. And this is a tier that to me is intriguing. And a lot of the times in drafts, and it's hard because it's hard to determine the path you're going to go at tight end until you start seeing a lot of running backs and wide receivers come off the board. So sometimes you don't know you're going to do things at tight end until, you know, kind of the middle of the draft. And obviously that by then it's too late to buy Kelce. It's probably too late to buy Waller. But if, for example, in a draft, a bunch of the top end talent goes for a lot higher than you think. So, you know, for example, I did a draft where I grabbed two running backs decently early. And I had intentions of spending up at receiver as well, getting a couple really good options at receiver. But the prices at receiver were really high, and they stayed high. They stayed high for much longer than I thought. All the way through my wide receiver threes, they were going for higher than I wanted. So now I had a bunch of money left that I had to find places to spend it on because I wasn't going to be able to afford any of these top-end receivers. So I started moving money to tight end, and I ended up, I had no intention of spending double digits to get a tight end, but I ended up buying TJ Hockenson for $11, which I thought was a really good value. So I am actually find myself interested in guys like Hockenson and Pitts in this tier. To some extent, Andrews, if I can get them in the low teens, which oftentimes you can, if the other position groups are going for higher, namely running back and receiver, are going for higher than what they should be, then that's going to make values at tight end. I've been in drafts where Kyle Pitts has been nominated super early and he's gone for, you know, $11, $12. And I think a lot of that is owners either know they're going to go really cheap, so they're not willing to bid when he gets to $9, $10, $11, $12. Or there's owners that are saving up for Kelce, Waller, Kittle, and they don't want to bid on some of these mid Hockensons, Andrews, and Pittses because they don't want to fill that roster spot now and it takes them out of the running to get those top-end guys. So I actually like nominating in some instances. It's a bit of a gamble. It's one of those three guys and trying to get a value, whether it's Hockenson, Pitts, or Andrews. So I kind of like this tier if you can get them for the right price. I'll be honest, a lot of the times I'm budgeting cheaply at tight end. So I'm focusing more there, at least at the start of a draft, because I'm allocating more money to receiver and running back. And it doesn't take, you know, until, like I said, more kind of a third of the way through the draft before you realize, oh, hey, I got some extra money now that I could plop at tight end and allow me to try and get some of these a little bit better guys. So you got to be ready to pivot quick if you want to try and get some of these guys, perhaps, if you're not budgeting that right away. My tier three is Noah Fant, Logan Thomas, Dallas Goedert, Tyler Higbee, Robert Tonyan, and Mike Gesicki. All these guys go for around $7 to $4, somewhere in that range. I'll be honest, I kind of find this as an in-between price range where I don't often buy anybody from this tier. I'm either paying up a little bit more to get into tier two, or I'm just going cheaper and I'm dropping into my tier four. That's kind of it for me. There's not really any middle ground. So it's not that I don't like some of these guys. It's just that I feel like I can, with a couple dart throws, I can find similar production to the guys that I just mentioned in that tier three, in a tier below. And so I'll usually opt to take a couple dart throws and go down there. Because even if I draft a guy from tier three, I don't necessarily feel super confident where, I feel like I don't need another tight end. You know, like if I take TJ Hawkinson or Darren Waller, obviously I'm not going to take another tight end. I'm going to ride or die with those guys. So if I drop from tier three, I'm not as quite as confident, and I probably feel the need that maybe I want to take a second tight end. So if I'm going to take two tight ends anyway, I might as well take two really cheap ones and really hope that I smash on one of them and they all produce where I get them at. So my tier four then leaves me with Jonnu Smith, Irv Smith, Evan Engram, Hayden Hurst, Rob Gronkowski, Cole Kmet, Hunter Henry, Adam Troutman, Eric Ebron, Austin Hooper, and Jared Cook. And all these guys are found for $3 or less. And this is, like I said, the cheap tier. And this is where a lot of the time I end up finding myself, because I've spent up at running back or receiver, and this is where, you know, I'm kind of left with. So I like Jonnu Smith. I like Evan Engram to some extent. I like Cole Kmet to some extent. I like Adam Troutman. I like Jared Cook. So I find myself going with a lot of those guys, any two of those guys, try and build a roster later in my draft. And then if I got to drop one, I got to drop one. That cost me virtually nothing, so I don't feel bad about that. So that kind of is how I break down those onesie positions. Hopefully you found that helpful. Again, if there's anything else you want, like you can reach out to us. You can tweet me at SlimForMVP on Twitter. I'm thinking I might try and drop one more of these before the weekend, just with a few other little maybe tidbits. I did a podcast with some kind of strategy, nomination strategy, little kind of auction tidbits last week. I might try and add to that a little bit here in the next few days. So again, thanks again for subscribing. Hope you found this informative, and good luck in your upcoming drafts.